Good day. I'm
roll
Doug
camera.
McKenzie. Take off roll
I
camera.
I want to do that.
There's no camera in here.
Roll tape.
I got to give them my theory on movies, eh?
Where's Beers?
I'll find him.
Level 5.
Plus, he had a mutant.
So good day, welcome to Strange Brew, the Fleshy Headed Minute. I'm Lee McCormick, and this is my co-host, BJ Cramp.
How's it going, eh?
And today's topic is episode 42, minute 37.
You certainly don't need any of this kind of hardware to make beer.
You ain't gonna find no lots of felony. I told you that was a mistake. I'm skating right. Faster.
Ow! Ow!
Jeez, those
things hurt. Who's that?
Smith's assistant. Look at this. Every camera on the place is tied into this console.
It's us!
Yeah. They don't even trust themselves.
But it's the guys!
Are you sure we didn't kill them?
You just shut up. I have this all worked out. Ah.
Ted!
So Pam and Henry have just discovered the underground computer bunker lair place there, right? Pam was like, have you ever been in here? You know, Henry opens the minute up with, he's saying, you certainly don't need any of this hardware to make beer. Right before Brewmeister Smith was talking about surveillance cameras, and he's like, the brewery business is a cutthroat industry and all that stuff, right? But here we've discovered like how cutthroat it is. We have this whole bunker.
You certainly don't need this map of the world with all of these all these locations plotted out.
Yeah, exactly. We cut to a long corridor. We're back with Bob and Doug looking for that lost and found. We see piping on one side, right? They're walking towards the camera. They can't seem to find lost and found. Looks like they're lost. They're just looking everywhere for this place. Right? still in their socks, right? And Bob starts sliding his feet like he's skating, right? I love this. He's like, I'm skating. It's faster, right? I'm skating, right? He's instead of lifting his feet, he's in his sock feet, and he starts sliding his feet on the floor. Right? I love this, right? I still do this move today. I'm skating. At my place here, I have like hardwood floors, and I keep them nice and clean, right? Nice and smooth. So when I'm wearing my socks, I do a lot of sliding and that kind of stuff, right? And also from playing records. If you want to play a record and you want to dance, you can't be like Lord of the Dance. What was that guy? You know, those dancers that fucking lift their feet and they're always jumping up and down. You can't do that, right? You got to like, I call it like sock dancing. When I have a girl over and I play some records and she wants to dance or whatever, or even if I want to dance, I got to teach her how to sock dance, right? So you can dance, but you're not lifting your feet off the ground, right? So I would do that, and I would kind of, sometimes I would be like, yeah, I'm skating. Doing that Bob McKenzie line, right? So
you do the risky business.
Exactly, yeah. That's exactly it, right? No pants and some good socks. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so Bob starts skating. I'm skating, right? And Doug smacks him on the shoulder, and he hurts his own hand, right? Because, they got this, like, stormtrooper goalie equipment on, right? And hits him on the shoulder pad. He's got, like, one of those, like a Nikki Six Shout of the Devil shoulder pad kind of thing, right? So he hurts his hand, and Doug's like, ow, jeez. Right?
They probably filmed, like, 20 different versions of this, of them walking down the hallway saying shit.
They're interacting.
Whatever. Yeah.
I know, wouldn't you love to see what was on the cutting room floor and all these cut scenes? And, like the Blu-ray, there's nothing good as far as extras, right? Like wouldn't you have loved commentary? Like, why didn't Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas do commentary on the Blu-ray track or something like that, right? Like, come on.
Yeah, like a scene like this, I think Rick and Doug are just riffing on it, and they probably did a bunch of different versions of it, you know, and
I'm sure a lot of the movies one. Like that, right? Like, how many times did they film the opening when they're at the on the Great White North set, right? To get all those jokes. They must have done.
Yeah, because they're directing it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that Rick and Doug and Dave Thomas are just, you know, a lot of it they're improvising. And there's probably, a lot of different versions of a little scene like this, you know. Mm-hmm. I bet they did a lot of different versions of it.
Well, we're coming up on a 40th anniversary. I doubt they're going to do anything for it, right? They did the 2-4 anniversary a while ago, obviously, right? So, you know, back in the day, if this was 20 years ago, they might have, you know, done a Blu-ray release with special features and all that cut stuff. But unfortunately, that stuff is not really marketable anymore, right? They don't really do that with movies. But, you know, I loved all that stuff. But that's why the listeners have us. We're here to break down this movie minute by minute, right?
Yeah, it would totally be a dream to see all the Strange Brew outtakes with Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas just, you know, messing around as Bob and Doug.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine how many, like, we're going to see a lot of scenes coming up, like the shock treatment scene and stuff like where they're just messing around, obviously.
And so. Sometimes with stuff like that, too, the way they edit it down, like maybe they have 3 hours worth of footage, and when they edit it down to the 90-minute version of the movie, and you see the stuff they cut out, you realize, wow, they really made some good, smart moves to make this movie tight and tell the story, right? Because I remember when I got the Criterion version of Spinal Tap about 20 years ago, right? They did that, where they released the movie with all kinds of extras, commentary track. There's actually 2 commentary tracks on that, right? So there's...
Yeah, don't they do one in character?
I was going to say, yeah, there's only 1 commentary track, but it's the 3 of them in character doing
it. Right.
So it's almost like a whole separate movie, watching it with them commentating it and cutting up Marty DeBurgi and the hatchet job and all that stuff, right? As well as so many extras. They released, like, I think there's 90 minutes of deleted scenes on there, right? So all the stuff that they cut out of the movie, you realize, wow, they really kept the good stuff to get a nice, tight movie. So,
yeah,
it would be a dream to see that for Strange Brew, but I don't know. I doubt we're going to get it.
No.
So Ted is exploring. He's trying to figure out why did he just see, 2 Bob and Dougs. We see a shot of Ted in the locker room, and he's in this kind of dark kind of cove, and you see a hockey stick and a couple of Elsinore beer cases and stuff like that, right? And then we see Pam and Henry. They're watching Ted on the screen from the bunker, right? They're looking at those surveillance monitors.
Yeah, what do you think that is that Ted found? He just, like... He turns into this hallway. There's a big mess, and you almost think, like, did Bob and Doug do this? Did he find, like, did they drink that whole case of beer, and this is the evidence that they tossed into this dark hallway or something?
Yeah,
because he's looking for them.
Yeah, you'd think they show Ted in the actual locker room where Bob and Doug were, where they got their whole clothes.
Yeah, it's weird. They show him in this
little,
like,
weird shot. It's all dark.
There's all this trash laying there, and you're like, did he just stumble upon Bob and Doug? Like, were they in there drinking all that beer or something? And he found the, because isn't there like a broken out case of beer or something laying on the floor and stuff?
Yeah, cases. Yeah. Looks like the aftermath of a party or something like that, right?
Yeah, right. It seems like maybe that's what he's finding is. Maybe there was even a deleted scene where we saw Bob and Doug in there making that mess.
Yeah, getting ready for the game with the team, right? Getting dressed.
Yeah.
Putting the gear on. So Pam looks up at the monitor and she's like, who's that? Henry responds, Smith's assistant. Henry starts, selecting different cameras from the console. They're hitting buttons. We hear these ringing and beeping sounds. Just before we started speaking today, BJ, I watched this minute. And, I found something that I didn't put in my notes. Like, I just caught this just about, 5 minutes ago. I just saw this. There's a quick shot as Henry's, like, selecting different cameras, and you see it on the screen. It's flipping back through different surveillance cameras. And there's a quick shot of the receptionist eating a donut.
Yeah,
I don't know. Have you seen that shot before? That's cool. I never noticed that.
I did notice there was a shot of the receptionist. I don't know if I picked up on that. I didn't pick up on that she was eating. It was probably a jelly, right?
Well, it looks like a chocolate one. Like, remember the first one that Doug hands her? I think that's a chocolate, right? So it looks like she's eating that donut.
That is a great little touch, though, to have her sitting there eating one of the donuts.
And it's a quick moment. Like, I've seen this movie 30 times over the last 40 years, and I never caught that until today. So that's super cool.
Yeah.
They're selecting more camera shots, and then they actually find, you know, themselves, like a camera shot of the bunker, right? They see themselves in the screen. Pam's like, hey, it's us. Henry's like, they don't even trust themselves, right?
Yeah.
So this is cool. This is a cool shot I noticed here. I love the cinematography movie kind of things, right? So we have a shot of Pam and Henry watching the monitors. It's a shot of them watching themselves on the monitors, right? And you see what appears to be Bob and Doug come into the frame, right? It's like the backs of their heads, the toques and the earmuffs. Pam looks up and she's like, hey, it's the guys, because she sees them on the video screen, right, from the back. They both turn around to look at Bob and Doug, and it's Brewmeister, Smith, and Claude wearing Bob and Doug's clothes, right? Obviously, they hork the clothes. This is probably part of the big scheme, the big plan. Let's put Bob and Doug on the ice. We're going to steal their clothes, and we're going to frame them, right? Brewmeister, yeah. Smith, and Claude are now going to take down Henry and Pam, right? So they both shoot them with dart guns. Boom, boom. And then we see Henry and Pam kind of just fall out of the screen. They collapse.
Yeah, these are the fastest working tranquilizer darts I've ever seen.
Right?
I mean, yeah. They're just immediately unconscious. Yeah. But I love how the way Pam says it's the guys. And it's like at this point in that brewery, anyone who's there, if you say the guys, you're going to know who they're talking about. Because these two characters, you know.
Yeah.
When she says the guys, Henry's not like, who? I mean, obviously he's going to know because of this quirky pair of brothers that have been hanging around. I mean, obviously they've made an impression. They're just the guys.
They've just stirred everything up in the last couple of days here. New jobs. They've rescued the CEO from the gate, all that stuff, right? The hockey
game. Yeah.
It's a cool shot, as we also see in the TV monitor. It shows that angle simultaneously, right? So as we see Pam and Henry kind of, you know, pass out from the dart guns, we see that shot in the surveillance camera on the video monitor bank kind of thing, right? It's pretty neat filming there. Claude's still worried. He's like, are you sure we didn't kill him? Right? And Brewmeister Smith's like, shut up. I have this all worked out. It's my plan. I know what I'm doing. Shut up.
How did Brewmeister know they were going to go in there? I mean, a part of his plan, he needs a situation where they can shoot them with the dart guns and be on camera from behind. Mm-hmm. So that they look like the McKenzie brothers do, you know, a lot of for this plan to work, a lot of different things have to come together for Brewmeister here.
Obviously, it wasn't an accident, right? They didn't just stumble back on the computer bunker. They were obviously looking for Pam and Henry to do this. I'm trying to think, when was the last time they knew their whereabouts? I guess they have cameras everywhere, but it's hard to see. I don't know, man, because Ted wasn't in on it, right? So Ted doesn't know what they're up to because he's shocked at seeing, you know, the double McKenzie brothers on the video monitor. How did Brewmeister Smith know where that Pam and Henry were going to be? I don't know. There's a part missing there.
Yeah, it's just, you know.
Yeah.
It's just the plot of the movie. But it's just, I mean, obviously, this was his plan. That's why they horked the clothes, was so that they would be on camera. But they have to be on camera from behind. They have to be on camera from the right angle, so you can't tell that it's not really the McKenzie brothers and everything. So
they're going to edit these videos together to kind of frame. Yeah, McKenzie
definitely.
Brothers, right?
Yeah.
And it's interesting to note.
Yeah, that's another. I mean, if you're talking about like a criminal investigation, I don't know how well any of Brewmeister's plans work. Like if there's an autopsy, you're going to be the medical examiner or whatever is going to know the difference between somebody who was electrocuted and somebody who was strangled.
Yeah.
You know? And like, if you're presenting edited, you know, video, they'd probably be able to figure that out too. So I don't know.
And these videos have time code, right? And that's very difficult to fake, is time code, right?
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know. I don't know if Brewmeister's plan would really hold up to the scrutiny that would come with, you know, a court case. Right.
Yeah, so Brewmeister Smith and Claude are still up on the top part there of the computer bunker looking down. Ted walks in and he startles Claude. Right, who turns around and shoots him with the dart gun. Claude's like, ah! He just just shoots Ted right in the stomach, right? Now, Ted does this cool front-first slow collapse, which I like. I played that back a few times, right, where he gets shot with a dart gun, and he sort of drops to his knees, and then slowly his torso collapses forward, right? It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Claude goes, Ted! Right, Brewmeister Smith, you stupid... And then that's where the minute ends. You stupid... The minute cuts off there, right? You nincompoop.
Yeah. Yeah, Brewmeister Smith also, as much as this diabolical villain as he is, why would he pick such a bumbling idiot as Claude to be his partner in crime? You know, you'd think he'd...
Well, it's because of the name, right? It's because he's the brother, right? He has a way to get in there with the sister-in-law. I guess he's going to marry the sister-in-law. He's got the Elsinore name. He's going to, you know, try and get rid of Pam. Pam is the wrench, right? Because you kill John Elsinore, you know, if Pam doesn't take over the business, Claude will. So that's why, you know, Brewmeister Smith is stuck with him just because of his relation to the man that he's trying to take down or has taken Brewmeister, down.
He could have just killed Claude too, and then he could have married Mrs. Elsinore.
Yeah, she seems to be like, she'll just go along with whatever, right? Pam's mom.
Yeah, she married Claude, what, was it the day after the funeral? That's another thing is Claude and John Elsinore, not a lot of family resemblance there between those two.
All right, so that'll do it, and we'll talk to you hosers next time.
Take off.
Okay, that clears up a lot of things for me.